What is glory? Is it Jesus sort of just doing a great number and we're just really impressed? We have seen his glory. What is glory, really? Well, the intuition of Father Philippe, whom I mentioned, is that glory, in a sense, is the overflow which leads to the communication of God's life. Glory is this radiance of God's life, which is a life of love and of light. God is love. God is light. And in Jesus, John tells us, we see that overflow, the overflow of God, so to speak. There's a very beautiful verse in the first chapter of Colossians, verse 19, which says, "In him all the fullness was pleased to dwell." It's so beautiful. In him all the fullness was pleased to dwell. And we have seen his glory, the fullness of God dwelling, overflowing in Jesus. Now, if we can go back, we're being a little illogical here, but that's okay. Back to verse 12. So we jump from 9 to 11 to 14. And now we're going very quickly, in passing, to verse 12 and 13. To those who did accept him, so his own people, although he established a covenant, which remains forever. The chosen people remain the chosen people until the end of time. Even though they said, maybe later, many of them, to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. So the word become flesh invites participants in his mystery. He invites those who would like, it's a free choice, in response to his initiative, to participate in the very life of God. It is not by natural generation, so it's not something that just happens biologically and just springs forth in our lives. It is not by human choice, not our creation, not our invention, nor by a man's decision, but of God. Becoming children of God, meaning sharing God's life, nothing less. Not moral imitators, God's very life. And this is further articulated in an amazing encounter, the encounter between Jesus and a certain Nicodemus. You may have heard of him. Very cool name. Nicodemus. It's a great name for a child. Nicodemus, chapter 3. I would name my kid Nicodemus. I have to brief him before I went to school, but that's okay. So let us move to chapter 3. John chapter 3. And if you will bear with me, I will just read through this encounter so that we can have the totality of it in our minds, and then we will proceed to dissect a couple of verses. We'll see how far we get. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a person once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." 5 more verses. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." So there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So Nicodemus was not your average guy. Not your average guy, which makes the encounter all the more impressive. And we'll see what exactly Jesus encounters. He encounters always the whole person, but there's an aspect that's highlighted, and it's important because it highlights what Jesus also comes to encounter in us. Ruler of the Jews, doctor, Pharisee, Jesus comes to encounter us in our minds also, not just our hearts. There again, we often think it's about the heart. It's definitely about the heart, and the mind is relative to the heart. But Jesus comes to encounter us in our minds. Jesus is light of the world. So this Nicodemus, one of the elders, was a man of status and religious stature, and he was surely older than Jesus. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, it means then that his coming to Jesus was humbling. But he came to Jesus being true to his healthy curiosity of mind. It's good to be curious, to want to know. And being true to probably something stirring in his heart. He had witnessed this Jesus. As we read just prior to this, after the purification in the temple, during Jesus' stay in Jerusalem, many came to believe in him. Nicodemus witnessed these signs that led many to believe in him. And he was curious and he was moved. And so he was faithful, true to his mind and his heart. And so he comes to see Jesus.